Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impoga. This evening, we'll discuss governance issues in Africa. And our special guest tonight is Samuel Atandi. He's a Kenyan Member of Parliament for Alego Usonga and a member of the NASA Coalition. And he joins us by phone from Nairobi, I guess. Good evening, Mr. Atandi.
Good evening, Douglas. My pleasure to join the show this evening.
You're very much welcome. And also joining us is regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. He joins us from Durban, South Africa. Welcome to the show, Suleiman.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and good evening to Honorable Member of Parliament.
Thanks very much. And as I said, we're talking about governance issues generally. But since we have Honorable Atandi here, let's start in Kenya. As I said, governance issues normally mean that those institutions must be strong and those institutions must be respected. Starting in Kenya, we had this debacle, which people are calling the Miguna Miguna affair, for instance, about a week or so ago. Mr. Atandi, what's the state of a Kenyan citizen in the position being deported twice, actually? Where do we stand now?
As you have rightly put it, the Miguna debacle is one of those things that have put our democracy and our institutions in complete test, because it has come out that we have not been able to slay the dragon of impunity, where our courts make decisions and institutions that are supposed to respect these decisions are not doing so. So right now, there's some level of calmness because the institutions, the police, the minister in charge of internal security and immigration has tried to come out to put their case forward. But our worry is that the team met the parliamentary committee in charge of internal security, and they tried to put their case forward. We have doubted their submissions because in the end they have only attempted to cut aspersions of the integrity of our judiciary. And as you know, our judiciary in this region is respected for being firm and for standing for the making fair judgments on cases.
I see.
So we are facing a situation where our executive is appearing not to be respecting the decisions of the judiciary, and this is, as you say, this is likely to cause chaos and to bring confusion in our governance.
I see. Suleiman, Kenya set this precedent because Kenya was the oasis of some stability and peace. But where it comes to deporting a citizen, that one is the first in the region.
Douglas, what is happening in the region, let's say we should have taken the continent, but particularly in the Eastern Central Africa, what is happening is worrying. The way the political space is shrinking, one wonders what fell in Kenya, because Kenya has been known to be a plural society. One wonders where this madness has come from. The wave of absolutism and impunity which has risen in this region is worrying, Douglas. Because, I mean, it could not be expected that a country like Kenya, a government of His Excellency Uhuru Kenyatta, could go to that length of calling a citizen a non-citizen in his own country.
Mm-hmm.
But what is surprising is that now it is a wave throughout the East African region. Things are bad in Burundi, things are bad in Rwanda, things are bad in Uganda, things are bad in Tanzania, things are bad in Southern Sudan. Things were bad in India, and they are still bad in Ethiopia. So the whole area has got a problem. Nobody knows, but it is shocking, and I think we need to examine what is going on in the region.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mr. Atandi, today we understand, I think it was today, while appearing before the National Assembly's Security Committee, and I think it was on Tuesday, Dr. Matiang'i blasted the judiciary again. He said the judiciary, they are in competition to embarrass the government, stop state officers from performing their roles. How you talk of calmness, it doesn't seem the executive has come to grips that judiciary is an independent arm of government, not a subordinate arm.
Yeah. What's happening in Kenya is a case where you remember when the presidential elections were annulled by the Supreme Court, the executive arm said that they would pay back, that they would revisit. So what is happening is that the executive appears to be trying to revisit, and they have attempted in many ways to try even to interfere with the composition of the Judicial Service Commission that is in charge of supervising the judiciary. And they are even recently, when one of the nominees to the Judicial Service Commission, Justice Wasame, was nominated, then they decided that this person must go through the vetting of Parliament, which is ideally unconstitutional. So we are having a situation where the executive is appearing to be trying to get back to the judiciary because of the previous issues that they made, which is against the executive. So we are. What happened on Tuesday when Dr. Matiang'i appeared before Parliament was basically a cleansing exercise. Mm. And as members of the minority in Parliament, we have rightly said that the Parliament appears to have also been captured by the executive. So Parliament is not effective because if you followed up the interview, the what happened was basically a cleansing ceremony. So we have called upon our colleagues in the National Assembly to stand up for the country, to stand up for the rule of law, so that we do not have a case where Parliament is used to cleanse. Is cleanse the executive. The other issue is that if you look at the submissions that were being given out by the executive arm, the police, the director of immigration, and Dr. Matiang'i, these are the same things that they should have actually submitted in court, because the court made decisions based on the submissions. If they say that Miguna had renounced his citizenship, and that he had acquired this passport illegally, fraudulently. These are the same submissions that they should have put before the court. Then the court would have made a judgment which was going to be fair according to them. But we are seeing a situation where in Africa, and especially in Kenya, you know, we did not foresee a situation where we would get to a situation where we would be, the constitutional gains would be rolled back in the manner that they are being done, with impunity. And we are saying that we are calling on all Kenyans to stand up so that we do not allow the gains that we have done with our great constitution to be basically abused by a few people in power who think that they cannot be stopped from rolling back.
I see. Suleiman, to their credit, the Kenyans had come up with this constitution. And it's where the judges and the judiciary people had some semblance of independence compared to other neighboring countries there. And like in Uganda, for instance, where they have Kada judges, in some other countries there's no judiciary, because it's what the president says that holds. Now, isn't there this risk if the government can erode the powers of the judiciary, and the parliament, as Mr. Tandi says, is in bed with the executive? Those are the signs of dictatorship.
There is no doubt about it, Douglas. And the most worrying part of it is that as institutions are being disorganized, as institutions are being suppressed, it is to the disadvantage of everybody. The bottom line is that today is Miguna Miguna, tomorrow it will be Uhuru Kenyatta. Once you leave the precedent to continue like that, then you are getting into a problem. That is why it has to be stopped. Parliament should not be disorganized, because as you have said, in Uganda you don't have a system. It has been overrun by the executive. There is no judiciary. The institution, the security institutions have been compromised. The parliament has been compromised. compromised. So if Kenya allows to go the Ugandan way, then they are in trouble. At least it was an example where we are seeing the independence of the judiciary, as the Honorable MP has said. But if it is, if this one is allowed to continue, then there will be a very serious problem. And the institutions, all the institutions have to rise up to see that the country is built from the deterioration and the shrinking space where people can feel free.
Mr. Tande, what's the official position of the National Coalition on this issue?
The NASA coalition today, our president condemned the submissions by Dr. Matiang'i, and we felt that that was the highest expression of impunity and disregard for the other institutions. So our position is very clear that even though you are aware that our president and the president of the Republic of Kenya are currently in unity of purpose that is basically aimed at addressing some of the issues that have affected us over the years, such as tribalism, corruption, and divisive electoral processes, etc. We have insisted that the rule of law must be respected and that independent public institutions must be allowed to perform their duties and their mandates, and the decisions of the court must be respected. We have also said that we expect the Jubilee Coalition to understand that even though we are together in this area, that we are not going to stop at seeing things that are rolling back our gains. So our position is very clear. There must be respect for the rule of law. That is fundamental.
Yes.
And we must respect the institutions of governance.
I see, but
because if you do not do that,
yeah, you remember during the campaigns, after the court had nullified the initial election, members of Jubilee swore to sort out the judiciary. I mean, they called them thugs. So, how much do you think the judiciary, the leadership of the judiciary, can contain this pressure or resist this pressure?
Well, what we hoped when we decided to work with the president, and our president decided to work with the people's president decided to work with the president of the Republic of Kenya, was so that we can all come together and be able to strengthen our institutions and make them work for us. So we still believe that that is going to happen because the conversations around the future of Kenya is ongoing. As you are aware, we are very supportive of the initiative by the two great leaders of this country. So we expect that these kind of behaviors and actions are going to be minimized, because that is the understanding we have.
I see.
We do not expect this kind of impunity to continue. But should it continue, then I think we will have no option but to stand up for the institution and for our constitution.
I see. Suleiman, briefly, you think the judiciary, you know, because we've seen in other countries, that's how it starts. You begin disparaging the judiciary. Some judges have been killed or gone to exile. Then the whole thing is eroded. Do you think, in your view, the Kenyan judiciary will stand this pressure?
For sure, the government is determined to frustrate and undermine the judiciary. As the Honorable has said, they don't seem to be budging down, and they don't seem to see that what they are doing is wrong. So, as far as the judiciary is concerned, it is independent, and I think it can stand it. But the most important thing about Kenya is that it has got a very active civil society. The government should know that it is provoking trouble. The moment the NASA coalition rises up and calls upon the people to go on the street, they will get in trouble. They will realize when it is too late. Even if the NASA coalition has not called on the people, the civil society in Kenya is very active. They are well mobilized. They are well aware. The intimidation which the government is trying to put on, and the intimidation and pressure which is trying to put on the judiciary and the opposition leaders, it might backfire for them. It is not the first time. I think government should have realized that civil society has risen up in Kenya so many times, and it has reversed many of the things which they have tried to do. So they should not play around with the fire. They need to wake up and turn the situation around before it is too late. Otherwise, for the judiciary, there is no doubt they will stand their ground. And the government will soon come to their
assembly. I see. Let's take a short break. I will continue our discussion of governance issues in Africa after this very brief interlude.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day. Some things change, some remain the same. From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100, 0200, 1200 and 1300 UTC, GMT, right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about governance issues in Africa, and our panelists are Samuel Atandi, a Kenyan Member of Parliament, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio One in Washington. Mr. Atandi, you referred to the understanding between the two presidents, the people's president and the president of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta and Raila Odinga. Now, many people are confused as to what deal they have. Of course, the broad elements we understand. They want to get people together and all that kind of stuff. But don't you think it puts your president, Mr. Odinga, in a bind? Because now he can't condemn some of these actions loudly because in fear of jeopardizing the other, whatever arrangement it was.
Well, that's not correct because today our leader rightly condemned the actions of Dr. Matiang'i in accusing the judiciary of being unable. Judges are being evil, you know. So the partnership and the unity purpose between the two leaders will not jeopardize conversations towards constitutional reforms and respect for institutions. But I would also like to say that there are so many enemies of this unity. You know, this our political system is such that when something like this happens, then it disorganizes the political arrangement. So right as we talk, I know that there are so many people within the government that are not happy with this, and they are trying to undermine it in many ways. They are trying to cause certain action that would make the process not to progress. So we are well aware, and we know when an action has been caused to embarrass the process. Mm-hmm. But we are confident that the President of the Republic of Kenya is into this thing wholeheartedly. We have proven that he really would like the country to move forward, and we trust him on that. But we also know that there are people within the government who are not interested in this thing because it will have to work. So we are very steadfast. We know that it must work. This is the way that Kenya, this is the only solution for Kenya.
I see.
Because we have said that Kenya suffers from all these long-term issues, that we can never have an election that is not divisive, that does not create a crisis. That we cannot have a country, we have not succeeded in having a country where people are working together to promote peace and economic prosperity. Right now, Kenya economic growth is estimated at 5%. You know, that is very little. We have been unable to address corruption because of division. Mm-hmm. When the country is divided, then you know you can't even handle corruption because people steal and loot and they say that we are protecting ourselves. Then you find a particular community being in power because they want to protect themselves. You know, now when you bring everybody together, then nobody can claim to protecting anybody because the country now belongs to us, the government belongs to us, we work hard for the prosperity of our people. So this is the only way for Kenya. If Kenya cannot get it right using this, the rapprochement between the two leaders, then there will be no Kenya for anybody to look at.
I see.
So as a people, as a members of the minority party, the NASA coalition, I can tell you that we are committed to this process and we are giving our leaders the necessary support that they require for this country to move, for this process to move forward.
I see. Suleiman, he says that maybe some people in the government didn't like this unit thing, But other people say also, even some in the opposition didn't like this thing because now it leaves little room to actually work on the reforms. So what do you think, Suleiman? It goes either way.
It is a very complex situation. It's a very complicated situation for Kenya and for the parties involved in the attempt to create a way forward. But what we can say is that actually a way forward is required, whether it has got negatives and supporters, because it has been a controversy. The issue of election in Kenya has been controversial ever since the reintroduction of multi-party politics. So it will always have people undermining whatever is coming. But what is important is for them to get to stay focused and to ensure that a way forward is got, because the unfinished business, as the MP has said, is taking the country backwards, because it is affecting the economy, it is affecting the society. So they have to find a way forward at the end of the day, because regardless of what happens, the question of elections has to be sorted out in Kenya so that they can get a way forward.
I see. Suleiman, you're in South Africa there. Of course, you're mourning the death of Winnie Mandela. But another event is that Jacob Zuma, the former president, is going to go to court. Your comment there and what that should show countries like in the region we're talking about, there's no president in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, or wherever, who can be gotten out of office and they've eventually taken to court to prove his innocence.
Yes, the former president Jacob Zuma will go to court. What that one shows to the continent is that in South Africa, we have got established institutions. We have a constitution which is respected. To support the constitution, we have got a layer of institutions which are respected by everybody. There is a little impunity because of the institution. Mr. Zuma is not being taken to court by individual, but by the institutions, and he has to respect the institutions. Most of the institutions are independent, and they are working independently, and you cannot commit any crime and go away with it, no matter who you are, whether you are a president or not a president. Everybody is equal in South Africa. That is the lesson to teach the continent, that all institutions have to be allowed to operate. The constitution has to be allowed to operate. Then you can have a country to progress.
Mr. Tandy, your comment on the events in South Africa as related to that region of ours.
We definitely are proud of South Africa's democracy. And it's one country that all of us focus on the activities, political, economic, and etc. And definitely, by arraigning President Zuma to court is a lesson to other African leaders or African despots who are hell-bent on either clinging to power or abusing their offices. And I think Africa needs to learn something from South Africa's democracy. The strengthening of the institutions of governance and our people. The problem we have is that the executive tries to emasculate institutions. You remember even for Zuma, during his reign, he tried to emasculate the institutions, but I think the stability and the strength of the institutions will not allow him to do that. So we really have to learn something from South Africa. I'm asking our people to focus on South Africa so that we can be able to learn. But more importantly is to the other African leaders, who are even changing constitutions so that they continue to cling in power. An example of Rwanda and Uganda. That their time will have to come, and they have no basis to cling to power. They have no basis to abuse human rights. They have no basis to steal public resources, because time will catch up to them. In Kenya, we are determined, and we are going to ensure that these gains that we have so far fought for and lost lives for are really not reversed.
I see. Suleiman, he mentioned there the neighborhood, because Uganda is messing up the constitution. Rwanda did the same. Burundi did the same. Tanzania now has a strong man sort of who bulldozes everything. So what impact does that have on the neighbors? I'm saying Kenya can't be an island.
sincerely speaking, there is a crisis in the East African region. The countries, as the MP has mentioned, they have totally undermined all institutions. They don't even have shame, because look at Rwanda. We have got a small girl, a young girl who tried to contest, the Rwigara girl, Diana Rwigara, Rwigara, a young girl trying to express herself, trying to contest an election. You see where she has ended. The whole family is victimized, and nobody is talking anything. Victoria Ngabile tried the same. She's rotting in prison. I mean, the country belongs to an individual and his group. He does whatever he wants. The same has crept in Tanzania. Mr. Magufuli is now undermining all the institutions. Since 1995, Tanzania has been an envy of the region. It has been known for its stability. It has been known for its peacefulness. It has been known for respecting freedoms of the people. Now he has, all out of the blue, he has turned everything upside down. He's doing whatever he wants. He's undermining parliament. He's undermining the judiciary. He's skewing the security institution. Nobody knows what is going on. Of course, Uganda is a rotten place. The president is everything. All the security institutions, he has undermined the parliament, he has undermined the judiciary, he has undermined the security institutions, so whatever he does. But as the MP has said, they should not take it for granted. Yes, for the time being, we don't have coups. Yes, for the time being, we have not had the president being shot while in office. But it happened in Burkina Faso. It happened in Zimbabwe. It can happen anywhere. Yes, they might have built these armies as their personal armies. They might have everybody from their villages and their tribes. It might be from their groups. But we have had in the past where sergeants have taken over power, where a Lieutenant Rowling took over power, where a sergeant took over power. So a sergeant can come from anywhere and cause bloodshed. They should not take it for granted.
I see.
It has just happened in Zimbabwe. It can happen, and the coups come back, regardless of the fact that African Union and the world over does not support coups anymore. But there comes a time when the people, when the country gets fed up.
Right.
So let them not invite a coup and other instability in the region. Otherwise, if they don't check, that is where we are heading.
I say, lastly, we have about a minute left, Mr. Tandi. What's the way forward now in Kenya? Are there chances? Is there a time frame for reforms to take care of all these issues in Kenya?
Yeah, just before I answer you, I wanted you to highlight something which is which has worried us in Kenya and I think in Africa, where our friends, the international community, appears to abandon the people on the path of reforms, and they would like to run slip with the power, the people in power. I think this is worrying, and I think we need to highlight that it's important for our friends, international community, to stand with the people when they are agitating for reforms and on their human rights abuses. We find that our friends are on the other side.
Okay.
But in Kenya right now, I can tell you that as a people, we are very, very hopeful that this recruitment is going to give us fruits.
I see.
And the timelines are very clear. We have been a bit worried about the pace.
Yeah.
Okay. The signing of the agreement.
We are out of time now.
Moving slowly.
Yeah, we are out of time, gentlemen. Well, that's the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Mr. Samuel Atandi, a Kenyan member of parliament, and Samuel Suleiman Mugula, an independent journalist. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You're welcome.
Our producer was Jackson Mufunganya, and our engineer tonight was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I remind, in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still get it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. Thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, wishing you all the best.
Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight, coming up.